everything you say is recorded, so you better watch.
Everything you say will be held against you.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good morning, everybody. It is 10 a.m. on December 15th, 2009. We are here in the Kelly Room at the Department of Community Affairs for a rule development workshop on Rule 9B60. You have all probably seen the notice. My name is Leslie Anderson Adams, attorney for the Department of Community Affairs. Everyone who is here who wants to speak will have an opportunity to do so. We will ask you to keep your remarks brief if you can, and you can also submit written comments afterwards. And from here, I will turn this over to Mo and Ann, who will tell you about the plans for updating the rule.
Thank you, Leslie. My name is Mo Madani. I work with the DCA, Florida Building Commission staff.
Dan Stanton, Florida DCA staff.
And if you want to, guys, take a turn and introduce yourself very quickly.
I'm Philip Perry. I'm with the Florida Solar Energy Center.
Tay Kuharski, Florida Solar Energy Center.
John Kiefer, E3 Building Sciences.
Mike Now with PGT Industries.
Todd Trusted with Energy Services.
Wally Conway, Home Pro Inspections.
Brent Colwell, Deco Energy.
Suzanne Cook, Florida Green Building Coalition.
Joe Redburn, E3 Building Science.
Rick Dixon, Florida Building Commission, DCA.
Stephen Service, Earth Steps.
Jay Connell,
Dr. Randall. Ryan Hansen, Florida Solar Energy Center.
George Scanlon, GRS Design Builder.
Thank you very much. As stated in the notice of rule developments, the objective of this workshop is to really inform you of what really our intent with regard to updating Rule 9B72, Rule 9B60. We have so many rules, so 72. Our objective is really at this stage is to bring this Rule 9B62, Rule 9B60. I'm sorry, Rule 9B60 up to date with the latest edition of the Florida Building Code, which is the 2007. 2009 supplement, and also we'll make sure that it is consistent with the latest edition of the rating, national rating programs, which is the Mortgage Industry National Home Energy Rating System Standards, which is this rule is based on. And also we have some minor changes we'd like to make to the rule with regard to the additions of the software that we are using, which is Energy Gauge Summit. And Energy Gauge USA. These softwares have been updated to be consistent with the latest edition of the Florida Building Code. So we want to make sure that that the rule 9B60 tools are consistent and using the latest softwares. Also, our intent is to define the program administrators. AFSEC has been the program administrator for some time, and I would like to really clarify that in the rule. We need to also clarify some updates to forms and so on. So we are trying to limit this rule revision to mainly an update to bring this rule into to be consistent with the Florida Building Code and the latest edition of the. Of the HERS standards, and have outlined in a document, which we'll go through it, the specific with regard to the those changes, and after that we will open it for any comments from you. You would like to add to it or provide any additional changes. The process for this rulemaking, we held the workshop. After the workshop, it's based on the comments and the proposals and all that, we publish what you call a proposed rule. That will be published with a strike and delete text that will be subject to review and comments. And if requested, we will have a hearing. Otherwise, we file the rule if there is no hearing requested. So now I will turn it to Ann to go through the specifics with regard to the changes.
Good morning. The front and back sheet with designated talking points is what I'm calling this thing. It's simply the surface of it. The rule was last updated in 2004. We tried once a year ago, I guess, to do some cleanup and ran amok, so to speak. So we dropped the rule. So at this point, in terms of forms you've got in front of you, and the gentleman just came in, there's copies up here on the end. Thanks, Ted. Okay. There is this form 300. The rule, which you also have a copy of, the existing rule, the form 300 is designated by the rule as how we're going to accept comments. I'll be glad to send whoever put their name on the sign-up sheet an electronic version of this thing. It will most likely be fixed up a bit. This is old news and it doesn't have the appropriate numbers on it or whatever. But because Form 300 is in the rule, let us either submit your comments in writing on this or electronically once we get to that point. In terms of general nuts and bolts, I do have this list here. Mo also already told you about having to designate an administrator. The DCA simply does not have the capability to run this program. So over the past, since 1994? That's about 15 years now? 95. The FSEC has been doing this for us at no cost under a memorandum of understanding. So that's one of those kickers. They try to make the program pay for itself and scrape by, so to speak. So, there are any the document referenced by the rule is the mortgage industry standards put out by NASIO?
No.
ResNet, I'm sorry. Okay. I have a very poor copy of this. You can pull it down from online. The current one, I understand, is July 22nd.
That's correct.
Okay. I think one of these bullets says where you can pull it down from online. Does it? Losing my papers. Let's see here. It's ResNet.
The URL is very simple. It's ResNet.us.
.us?
Yes.
Really? So I highly recommend that each and every one of you actually burn the tree that it takes to print out the mortgage industry rating standards. Because these are it's a national program. These are the rules that the program lives by. Right? Okay. Let's see here, what else do we want to talk about? There are a number of forms referenced in the rule. They're all out of date. The form 01, all of the forms are rated 01, and here we are almost in 10. So it was because what the rule says is, and what the law says, is that we are going to update this thing within 6 months of a new energy code going into place, that we will be consistent between the energy code and the BRRRS program. What else does it say? That there are rules about how you get certified. Those of you who have been in the business for a while, could I have a show of hands? Are you all BRRRS certified? Who isn't? Are you thinking about getting BRRRS certified? Okay.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, I guess I am.
Congratulations.
I don't really use it that much.
So, basically, I don't have a whole lot of comments other than those generalities. Are there any questions you'd like to ask about this process, or would you like to just go into the comment period?
Yeah, any comments? If you have any comments, just let us know. We, as I mentioned, we'd like to limit this rule to updating the rule and not really go into the new subjects. But if you have any new subjects, we'd like to know what your concerns in general. Yes?
I have two comments. And your first bullet item on the standards.
Yes.
I'd like to see the date change to July 22nd, which is the current date.
And you?
And my other comment has to do with the form numbers. On the first page, under the bullet title, utilize the same software, you have the form number FRBER 2008. And then on the back, you have FRBER 2004.
So what should we call them?
The software itself
says
uses no FRBER 2006. However, we can change the software.
Yeah.
It's currently using 2006. It's using that same form moniker FRBER.
When would be? Well, what do you think? Should we?
But you've got.
Try being it's just,
there's an internal inconsistency in what you're proposing here. We can change it to 2008 if you want. That's
I'm not proposing anything here.
Let me ask you: the form generated by is a copy of the form. Is the form is generated by the program or?
Yes, it is generated by the software.
What's the edition of the software? What's the year edition of the software?
The code software.
It's the current code software.
So we can use that year.
Let's just use 08.
The latest.
You have 2008 on the front of this and 2004 on the back. If you just make them consistent, we'll make the software match.
These are not proposals. These are talking points.
So we'll use 2008.
Okay.
In the notice, we had limited number of issues that we were going to address.
Okay.
So I threw out some talking points about where we need to go with this.
2008 will do, and we'll go to 2008.
I'm there.
That's fine. All right. Any other comments? Yes, sir.
Would you mind stating your name,
yes.
for the tape recorder, please?
Sure. John Kiefer from E3 Building Sciences. I'm here today representing a group of five or six raters, including Dennis Strower of CALPS Plus, as well as myself. And we support the decision to adopt the 2006 mortgage industry rating standards as amended for the July 22nd, 09. However, we strongly object to the inclusion of Chapter 6, which specifically are the sampling protocols promulgated by ResNet. And that's in section 601 through 609. To the best of our knowledge, Florida has not previously allowed sampling in its GERS rating, and we believe to allow it now would be a serious mistake. We've seen some utilities in Orange County in particular implement BOP sampling standards, and we don't believe they should be allowed to do that. And it was done, we believe, in an effort to effectively circumvent the scrutiny of their ratings by FSEC and existing Florida rules as they relate to the ENERGY STAR certification. We believe that the implementation of the sampling protocol will only serve to diminish the value of an energy rating and ultimately undermine the confidence of the entire energy rating process. I've got four or five pages of notes that I will spare the committee today. And just give a copy to Ann if that could be included in the record. But I would like to read the conclusion, which is sampling by attributes is a widely accepted and applied quality control methodology. Fundamentally, using well-established statistical techniques, we could determine the viability of using sampling in evaluating the performance of Florida housing stock. However, developing this type of a sampling plan requires consideration of probability statistics and acceptable risk levels on the part of the state of Florida, the EPA, and ultimately the homeowners, something that the ResNet sampling protocols have consistently failed to do. and defining the limits of sampling, there's always some degree of uncertainty. Reducing the uncertainty logically requires increasing the sampling size. Increasing sample sizes to levels that will ensure a high degree of probability, or that 95% of the defective units would be captured, drives the complexity and associated cost of documentation up to the point that testing each home would be simpler and a more cost-effective proposition. Thirdly, the increased cost associated with high sampling rates needs to be balanced against the value of decreased uncertainty. We'd argue that the state of Florida has a fiduciary responsibility to its citizens to ensure and maintain the integrity of the home energy rating system such that every home actually performs at its stated level. We believe that the rating industry, for the rating system industry to survive in Florida, we need to ensure the credibility of every rating is beyond questioning. And we believe that sampling can't ensure the integrity of home ratings.
Thank you, John. You're going to write it up and attach it to a form 300?
I will be happy to do that.
Stephen?
Well, this might not be the time or place for this, and you can quickly tell me if it's not. But, in 95, when I became a Class 1 grader, things were very different. I certified first Energy Star Home in 2000 here, and, you could hardly give it away. It was very hard to market up here. So now there's hundreds and hundreds of these done up here in Florida, if not thousands in North Florida, and everyone still has to go to FSEC for training, certification, which has been, fantastic. But if there was some way to be able to have a provider location up here in North Florida so that folks in Pensacola and Jacksonville and other places wouldn't have to travel all the way down, I think it would benefit the whole state. I'm working with TCC right now, developing the Green Building Institute, and we would love to be a provider for this in whatever fashion it could benefit the state. And, we're very open to working with folks to do this. And it just, I think it really helped now that there's so many more ratings going on and so much more travel for certification down there.
Thank you.
What is it? Thanks.
Yes, can I ask a question? Are you interested in becoming a rating provider or a training provider?
Whatever can work out to
or
help
a software provider.
Yeah, training, certainly. That would tie in with what the Green Building Institute vision is at TCC.
Okay, any other comments? Yes, sir.
Yes, Bill Simpson with Progress Energy. I would just reiterate that point, and what I anticipate is seeing home performance with Energy Star impact the existing homes market and the demand for ratings continuing to increase, and I think that probably exacerbates that situation to allow training across the state to provide enough raters to the marketplace.
And in defense of FSEC, I think that it requires a fair amount of equipment and training to do it on a large scale. And speaking of somebody that has a 250-mile drive every time I go to FSEC, I don't find it to be that big of a hassle. Once you've got your certification, you go back every 3 years, Ted, and all I've had to do was fax over continuing ed units, and that's been the end of it.
I believe there are, thank you, John. I think there are also standards that need to be met in the ResNet mortgage industry training manual as well that cover who does training and how.
Am I correct when I read 9B60.002 that this basically says anyone that meets those standards, whether it's a public or private industry, a private entity, excuse me, that implies that they would allow other providers in the state of Florida?
002?
Yeah, it's on that.
Oh, the definition?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Basically, we have to become a rater or to become a provider?
No, I'm talking about being a provider.
It says a program administrator.
We're proposing to define the role of the program administrator, whether that would be one or more.
Well, I know from 005, okay.
So I'm sorry, where am I?
If you met the ResNet standards for a provider.
Yeah, you would still have to, we still need it. The department is charged with doing certain things under state law, one of which is to be consistent with the energy code and other national standards, which is why we do ResNet. We don't have the staff to run this program ourselves, so we need an administrator at least. We can certainly take comment about additional providers, but we still have to meet all the criteria of the law being consistent with the energy code and so on. So technically, I think we're talking the same program.
The law actually states that it shall be a statewide uniform code. Now,
yes,
how that's interpreted by the department and its legal counsel could lead to other alternatives than FSEC being the sole provider in the state. But if you have multiple providers, then you have additional, I don't want to call them issues, but challenges that you're going to have to face with respect to a statewide database of registered ratings and other things like that, how that's going to be coordinated among the multiple providers and et cetera. And you're still going to have to use the energy code software as the basis for doing the ratings in order to maintain the statewide uniformity that the law is asking for. With respect to what Bill said about the Home Performance with Energy Star program, I don't believe there's any requirement in the Home Performance with Energy Star program for ratings. I don't think that program actually requires ratings. It has traditionally been built around BPI analysts who work for contractors who are certified. They have typically, it initiated in the northeastern part of the United States, and they have typically not conducted actual ratings of the buildings, but have focused more on what they call in the Northeast test in and test out and systems, building systems, the whole house is a system kind of concepts, where a major part of their concern and quality assurance, for lack of a better term, is that the building not be left in a condition after it's been retrofitted which can cause any combustion safety problems, essentially. And that's a problem that's particular to northern climates that Florida doesn't have as much as northern climates do, because we don't have as much combustion equipment operating in homes as northern climates do. But notwithstanding all of that, the Home Performance with Energy Star program, as it has been put together by DOE and EPA, has traditionally not required ratings. And so someone could work within a Home Performance with Energy Star program without being certified as a coordinator.
They are currently doing that at GRU. They have a Home Performance with Energy Star program.
Yeah, and the Home Performance with Energy Star programs are usually partnerships between either states, major municipalities, or utilities, partnerships between them and EPA, and have focused traditionally on existing homes. I'd say that what's going to happen in the existing home marketplace is a little bit up in the air. You've probably all heard that the Obama administration is very interested in providing some additional incentives for retrofits for existing homes. I was in Washington last week talking to DOE and all the people that are supposedly involved in this. I don't think there's any clarity on what's going to actually hit the ground, when the rubber meets the road. And, we can very easily get ahead of ourselves on that front. And I don't think it's a good idea to second guess either the administration or Congress with respect to that. And my understanding is that the TARP program, which contains the money that the administration wants to use, doesn't contain the necessary statutory language to allow the administration to just use that money for this HomeStar program that the administration is pushing. And so in order for this HomeStar program to be a reality, it's probably going to have to go through Congress. And Congress is tied up with other issues right now. I think there's going to be a jobs bill. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a hard push for it. But I don't think anything is settled enough to bet on it with respect to trying to write a rule here with respect to 9B60 or parcel out things differently than they've been parceled out in the past. That's just my opinions.
Yes. I mean, just have one last thought as far as the demand of potential demand of expanded HERS ratings in the retro market is in looking at third-party financing options that we could possibly offer to our customers if we can't afford to do energy retrofits. The financial institutions are, they'll actually lower their interest rates if a HERS rating is performed on an existing home, because then they have confidence and a national standard that ensures a reduction in their utility costs, thus the ability to make their monthly payments. And that reduction is quite substantial in interest rates. So it's intriguing to look at how the financial institutions are positioning themselves around the national standard and benefits of that, such as the HERS rating.
I think that's a positive outcome. Now the financial, the secondary mortgage market is now actually controlled by HUD. The citizens of the United States now own Fannie Mae. And HUD has been charged with the responsibility of doing the work that's associated with how financing is going to be done on new and existing homes and mortgages and et cetera. And there's, I think, reasonably good news on that front. But I'll be very honest with you, HUD, DOE and EPA are not always on the same page with regard to any of these issues. And it's my understanding that it came as a big surprise, quote unquote, to DOE when HUD told them that no, Fannie Mae is not going to accept anything less than a rating, a full-blown rating. They want to know with some degree of certainty, you know, what the projected energy use of this building is going to be, if they're going to give advantageous loans. It's about the money, and so we're not going to just give advantageous loans based on somebody's say-so. And so that's where I think things are, but things are very unsettled in Washington, and it's hard to tell at this particular point how the rubber is going to meet the road.
But I just want to clarify, I was referring primarily to unsecured loans for energy retrofits, $125,000 kind of range,
yep,
where people don't have access to a second mortgage or some other options. I think that's approved.
Yeah. Well, any more comments, guys? As I mentioned, the process at this point, based on the comment we received and based on what we stated in the summary of the changes, we will publish an amendments to the rule. And that, you will have the actual language. We will let you know. Do you have their emails to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be able to really let you know, and we'll post a notice on our website. You can use the form that Ann given you to submit your proposed changes or comments on the rule.
I'll send to everybody an electronic version of that form.
Thank you. And please, the rule would say A hearing will be held if requested, so if you feel like a hearing needs to be held, just do request one. Otherwise, we will not have a hearing.
Well, can you give us some sense of the time frame? If there was a hearing, I assume it would be in the first quarter of next year?
If we, roughly, if we're going to have a hearing, I think it probably was, today is the 15th. Normally, it's going to take us, let's say, for example, it takes us 2 weeks to prepare the... How long do you think Ann will take us to prepare the notice?
Depends on what else I put to come over.
Well, let's just say, for example, we have it already ready, am I correct? Most of it is done?
I have most of it, yes.
Let's say, for example, based on the comment we heard, and if we... It's like January 1. If we have it ready by January 1, and then notice it, normally the notice will take 10 days to get it out through FAW. We're talking about probably January 15 or so, we could have it out.
Yeah, that may.
And assuming that there weren't substantive changes, then it would go into effect by the end of the first quarter?
There'll be 21 days for the comment period. That will take us through early February, and then after that, if we don't hear anything, so if we, based on the hearing outcome, if nothing changed, then we can file February, let's say mid-February, we file the rule, and then rules goes into effect 20 days after filing. That will take us to March, mainly, sometime.
So, yes, it sounds like within the first quarter of next year.
If we're within lucky. The first quarter of next year. That's good.
If we're lucky.
If, yes, to be optimistic.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Just forgive me, guys.
Sure.
Just the way things worked out, I got to get what I did. I heard some comments concerning when I first walked in, someone was asking a question concerning multiple administrators for the state. What was that?
We have, at this point, we have an administrator, right, who administered the program, which is the Florida Solar Energy Center, and has been in existence. We have been doing this since 1994-95. And the question was is to allow, I guess, for more providers, and that's really the issue here. We'd like to, at this point, maintain one administrator at this point, and maybe, and that's because of the fact that in the rule we rely on uniform tools, we rely on AFSEC tools, we rely on their expertise and all that with regard to the program, and uniformity is a very critical in terms of this program.
Question, along the same lines, I don't think that what I've heard is, I guess some people may remember this, I've been in here in different meetings a few times, but anyway, when I'm hearing that uniformity of a program should not be a problem because anybody could just, I mean, you could have it set up so that the person would have to use Energy Gauge as the standard software program. And as far as a database, that of course would not be an issue for online databasing that would meet some standard as long as the standard is known. Because the program is a national, I mean, it's a program that's nationally accepted, and you have different groups that can utilize that program. If the program is not the issue, then what would cause it to be what would cause the discrepancy that you're talking about? Because it couldn't be the program.
It's really the program, the way we
I'm
put together
about the software program.
The way the software was put together is really, it has a lot of history behind it. It's really the software that based on the Florida Building Code, where the BERS is required to be also consistent with the Florida Building Code. So we have a tool that we've been using, we have used for the Florida Building Code, and the BERS kind of using the same tool and in a more in a expansion fashion. That's what, you know, what we said, uniformity. Now, with regard to these issues, you know, and all that, I would prefer, and that's my personal opinion, is that we go ahead with this rule and get it done, just to update it so that it is consistent with the code, is consistent with the latest standards, and maybe those issues that we hear that outside what we're really proposing is maybe have another workshop at the time when we close this rule and see what other ideas that you have and see how we can work with these. I think really I hear the in terms of the providing another provider using another tools or that, those things are really it require a lot of review and discussions. But we would like to really not bog this rule down with these things and let us go ahead and file this rule, get it up to speed with what's going on with the code and what's going on with the national standard and come back. We're hoping that, if there is an interest, we see based on the comment we receive, if there is an interest, we can hold a working group sometime in March, April. I'm hoping that we have a lot of things happening next year with regard to the Florida Building Code, but we can allocate some time to have a working group or a workshop to address your concern that's outside what's being proposed. We'll work with you on that. You've given us your email and information. We'll keep you informed.
One more thing. Then.
Yes.
Along those lines, it's just because I've had people calling me at times asking me what I thought about this stuff. And there was a time when my company was a BOP for the state, and we went through all of the intricacies of these things. If there was a provision that we will be having a future workshop, that would be fine. But a proviso also that, though I know that inherently it is it's intuitively this way, but because of different questions I've had even from the EPA on this subject, if we had some type of provision in there that explained the fact that if an entity was a HERS provider or a BOP provider, you know, they got their license with ResNet or whichever provider is out there, whichever overseeing group is out there, that the only thing that the 9060 rule is saying is that the state will recognize that administrator or future administrators, whichever way it chooses to do it, the ratings by it. But this in no way impacts the EPA or should in no way impact ResNet's or any other's interpretation of who can provide ratings within the state. That needs to be, regardless of how intuitively we receive this, I'm just saying, I've had people knocking on my phone too much recently asking this question, because I'm out of that game for now, but there are a few other guys that want to get in on it. And it would be nice for that to have been written so that everybody understands and no one's guessing anymore, thinking that the state is establishing, which is the concern that was reached, expressed earlier, that the state is creating a monopoly type of environment. It's just, even though the state isn't, and I know it isn't, because we've gone through this before, because it's not literally putting down, so that in one little simple statement, that this is not the intent, it's just to provide a resource, an administrative resource for housing and making sure that we have one standardized rating format that's being done and all of the fun stuff that goes along with it. It's been interpreted in so many ways that have made people quite If we could have at least just a statement to make sure, just some disclaimer to make sure that that issue is not an issue, I believe that would go a long way towards everything else that we discussed, and it'll help ease or calm a lot of fears for some other folks that were worried that the state might be doing something that it should.
Philip, you have any comments on this?
Only comment I have on you know, additional providerships in the state is that I would highly recommend that anyone who wants to do that go and read the ResNet standards in explicit detail. And the second comment that I have on that is that in some regards, Florida is in some minor ways exempt from the ResNet standards because Florida has its own state law, and the ResNet standards clearly state that where there is a state law or regulation, that law or regulation shall take precedence over the ResNet standards.
Rick?
Okay. Just to make the point clear, too, Florida chooses to use ResNet because it's the only national standard out there. Florida law actually says consistent with the federal standard, and there is a federal standard. So to try to meet the intent of the law, it chooses to use ResNet as a national standard.
Okay. So ResNet right now is the entity, if you will, that the EPA has, not that it will only use that one entity forever. If there's other entities that come up, and they will be willing to use it. That's already known. We've seen that through all the paperwork that's come across our emails and everything. But the whole inside of it is just simply the misinterpretation. Because every time we've been in meetings, at least the ones I've been in, there's never been an interpretation given where I've seen that 9060 is supposed to exempt another entity from having a providership within the state as far as a entity that provides ratings and has people that report to them and provides ratings. That was never the intent. If it is, you need to explain that to me myself and give me something right, because that part would be weird to me because I've never gotten that interpretation. But that has been the interpretation since no one has literally written it down and said that is not what we meant. And if we do not have that being said that that is not what we meant, then we need to understand that the state did, in essence, whether intentionally or unintentionally, create one up.
Well, the statute says that the rating has to be done this way. If you're doing a rating for an energy rate, it has an energy rating system which spells out what really the base is and what it's based on and how it's supposed to. So, and now what we established is a system that's consistent with the law.
You didn't get me. Very simple. Did the state, just answer this, did the state of Florida intend on exempting any other entities from, regardless of, I'm not saying the state of Florida recognizing that entity's database. I'm saying, was the intent to cause that entity not to be able to be recognized by the EPA for, it was never the intent, right?
And let me ask
Listen, the EPA is with respect to buildings, runs totally voluntary programs. EPA makes the rules about those programs. EPA has had, quote, BOP providers in the state of Florida who didn't actually answer to Florida's rating system in any way whatsoever. They were only answerable to EPA's programmatic requirements. And the reason for that is BOPs don't require ratings. BOPs, you know, by ResNet standard and by EPA program requirements, must be constructed exactly the same way every time with the same building characteristics, regardless of the home. And there is no rating that results from a BOP, and there is no rating that can be done in order to qualify for a BOP. Hang on, let me finish. what the Florida Solar Energy Center does as a provider within the state predominantly is provide all of the quality control that is required by ResNet in order for ratings to be functional in the state.
Now, stop now, right there with what you just said.
Okay.
Now, when you just said that, but you cannot ascertain, you cannot blanket state that no other entity will ever be able to provide that same service. What you're saying, what you just said was true. That is what FSEC is providing, and that is good. It's been doing it for a long time. But what's happened right now is it has taken that area. There will never be allowed any other entity, no matter what their qualifications, to step up to the plate and provide similar services. Now,
I don't think that statement is accurate. I think the Department of Community Affairs can decide that they want to make a deal with some other administrator and provider within the state, or they could have multiple providers within the state. It is the Department of Community Affairs which is the arbiter of the law, not FSEC as the administrator of their program.
That part was no problem for me. If you remember when I first stated it, yeah, we can have a workshop, and that's all fine and good, and we can have those. But the whole concept was just simply the misinterpretation that I was believing was going on. What I've heard just now, even for dug out from what y'all were saying, is there was not an intent to say that no one else could become a provider within the state. It just would not be recognized by the state and put into their database. But another person could be a provider in the state.
Actually, that's not correct.
Okay.
Because there was an intent in the law that said that the rating system would be uniform statewide. Now hang on.
State of Florida. Go ahead.
There may be some mechanisms, I don't know how right now, but there may be some mechanisms so that you could comply with that part of the statute and have multiple ResNet providers. I don't know the answer to that. There may be some mechanism, but the state has chosen to, you know, have what amounts to a single provider that they're calling the administrator of their program. They have the right by statute to do that.
They have the right by statute to decide who they will recognize, but can you state that? You got to understand how, all I'm saying is that if another entity, I don't care who they are, if they came in and they had whether it's ResNet or not, say it was a ResNet HERS providership. They were a registered ResNet HERS provider. And then they had some grader, John Joe, who decided, you know what, we have access through the provider option. They bought a provider option with the energy gauge software, what have you. We know we can meet we're going to provide ratings for these homes based upon the standards that, as we spoke about Mr. Ferry, the Energy Star standards that have been housed and kept by ResNet, which I'm sure he knows he's over that whole thing. After you have this person provide this rating on this home, would that exude ResNet and the EPA, and then ergo from ResNet the EPA, from recognizing that house is Energy Star? But in the end, the whole thing that people want is not, and this is just from experience, a lot of builders are not worried as to whether or not a house has been recognized and put into the state database. They really don't care. Some do, but many of them don't. What they really told me is that they want the house to be EPA certified as the Energy Star recognized home. And what's happened is, it's one thing to meet an EPA standard for the state of Florida that the EPA said federally they're recognized. It's a whole other thing to have to say that because the state will not recognize a provider and the work that they're doing in the state, and then ergo to have a fallback that says, regardless of whether or not a person has done accounts perfectly right and met every standard, that everybody's having to do the same things, every standard, because it's not the administrator for the state of Florida for their specific program, that a federal program will not be recognized in that state, that it seems it flips everything. All I was saying was that if the intent was to keep anyone else from being able to rate within the state Energy Star homes, it'll be nice to just at least, I mean, that needs to be stated, because then you're going to have, like I said, I'm not the one going after it right now, but you got some guys that are going to fight for it right now, simply because what's happened is we have, in essence, because no one asks the question and gets it just definitively stated and it just laid out, we have two sides to this thing. One saying that the only way you're going to get a house rated is if you go through FSEC. And the other one saying, well, you know what, if I'm a provider, why can't I do them in this state? I do them in that in 59 other, well, 50 other states, or 40, whatever, 49 other states.
And Rick has something, but before Rick says anything, I think we, as I mentioned, we want to take those issues up if we can do it in the space to, you know, after we get this rule out, let's just, it seems, you know, let's just stimulate these discussions and come up with something that we all have the opportunity to grasp, and we, some, you know, some of the questions could be a legal question that we need to answer first. But yeah, Rick, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was involved in the writing of this legislation, and the intent was, yes, that at that point there were multiple providers throughout the country starting bringing their systems into the state, and the intent was to create a single system for the state of Florida. And as Philip points out, whether or not that system allows for multiple providers or not is something that DCA will have to determine, and they determine that by rule. But under the way it was put together in the initial rule, which is gone forward since late 1990s, is that there is just one provider. The administrator has been interpreted to be the provider from the state of Florida. The way we have administered it over the years is that if you do a rating in the state of Florida, if you're using it for advertising purposes in any manner, then you're going to have to be a state certified rater.
Let me say something. No, I got a good one for this one. I got to say this here only because I have to. Now, normally I'm not brought these things up, but it's just fun time though. Okay. If you have an administrator, the administrator must put in the qualifications of the administrator. It has to be, in essence, autonomous, right? It has to, in essence, stand aside and from an autonomous, no market, not as a business entity, but in other words, as a government entity, it needs to come in and it needs to actually look at everything and be unbiased.
All right.
I'm not about to go into all the details of this thing, but I'll just say it like this. At this time, it'll be real nice if you had more than one, if we had more than one, because right now, guys, we have too many people in the market that are not pleased with the service that they're getting. And this is not to step on someone's toes, but just to say it the way it has been, it has gotten to the point where
Look, the raters in the state of Florida are not certified by FSEC. They're certified by the state of Florida. They're certified by the Department of Community Affairs by law. All right, now let me finish. And anybody in the state who wants to play in this game is allowed to play in this game. There is no monopoly whatsoever. Any single person who wants to become a rater, who wants to become a company that does ratings, who wants to do any of these things, is allowed to do this. And it is the Department of Community Affairs who by law certifies the raters who operate in this state.
Which is a definition.
We administer much of the administration for the Department of Community Affairs, but we don't certify raters. The Department of Community Affairs certifies raters in the state of Florida.
Now, but from the entities that will be receiving the ratings and from the raters themselves. Do we, what is our, okay, we're looking and we're checking on the houses. Right now, we've been into these meetings and we've heard a lot of the disgruntled. Now, we've had some pro and con. I have pro and con too. I also say that, hey, it's been a good job. I was trained over there, upset with on what we did. I'm an engineer. I went over there and I got trained. Hey, a lot of guys over there, some good guys. That's not my issue right now. What I'm saying is just simply, inherently, there's a few flaws. Right now, we have a number of, I've been in the meetings when I've said nothing and received complaints.
What meetings?
The last 9B60 rule that we were in.
Last year?
Remember I was in there? All you had, the whole meeting on 9B60 was a bunch of complaints and everybody hollering about nothing. We were there at that meeting. What happens though is it's obvious that right now at this time that we do have some issues that do need to be resolved. And continuing status quo at times, especially as we go forward.
What is the law?
Like I said, it's just there needs to be some way or some effect where the market, whether it's raters, entities that have to deal with the ratings, what have you, are able to come back and actually have some negotiation on this whole administrative thing. Because this administrative thing is literally, it can become pretty tough for us. And if you step on toes, like I'm doing right now, which I prefer not to, but it's just been the nature of things right now. I've waited about 4 years. You end up having some issues. So all I can tell you guys is just simply, I understand where you're coming from, but after 4 years of waiting or 5 years of waiting, it'd be nice for us to have at least some intent to seriously look at this and literally come up with some sort of way of resolving some of these issues.
That's, you know, as I said first, our intent is to have a working group or a workshop to look at all these issues. But I think, and I promise you that will happen. But at this point, I think we ought to really focus on getting this rule update with the national standards and with the code. And that's really our objective at this point. But we will have a working group, and we wanna hear your comments. We wanna hear your concerns. We wanna work with everybody and get something that legally viable too. You know, we have to consult with our legal counsel too on some issues, but we're hitting that route.
Another comment over here.
Okay, go ahead. Any other comments?
No, I was just going to say, to me, your question is answered in 9B60-002. It says program administrator is public or private entity that is qualified to perform the training and support functions of the Florida Building Energy Rating System that's authorized by the department to perform such functions. That doesn't give FSEC the sole ability to run the entire program. It's whoever they choose.
Yeah, this is a proposed their language. But at this point, we do have a contractual agreement with FSEC to mainly administer the program. We do have that. We select, and if we have other programs, which is really, it has a similar, scheme. For example, the state product approval program. We approve products. We have an administrator. We mainly select an administrator, a qualified administrator, and then we use that administrator to do the program. We look for one administrator. We don't look for some with multi-administrators because it's the fact we want to make sure the program is run in a consistent, uniform fashion and so on by a qualified entity. But I think save these discussions. I promise you, we'll take them up very soon.
I just had one comment. The gentleman in the back mentioned that there was widespread dissatisfaction with FSEC, speaking as the largest rater in the state, and also speaking on behalf of four or five of the raters that I suspect collectively we would represent 90% of the homes rated in the state of Florida. We're not particularly dissatisfied with them. We've had our differences, but I've always found Philip and Tay and everybody else very accessible. So,
thank you. Any more comment, guys?
I'll pay you next week.
Well, thank you for your comments. And when the rule goes out, feel free to give us your comments if needed. And otherwise, if you don't hear from, if you don't comment, we'll file the rule.
Turn in your 3-1-3
to give you a flash.
Okay. Back to Leslie.
Yeah. She's let in the charge. Record reflect that the hearing or that the workshop is ending at 11 a.m.
Okay. There's many. All your comments will all be looked at. Please send them in. I will send you all Form 300. Okay,
how do I turn this off? Yeah, here's the, wait, I gotta give you the software to show.
Coming on the roll?
Yeah.
Yeah,
how do I turn this off?